We're in lesson 35 in Ephesians chapter 4. And we left off last week in verse 1 as we was talking about, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And we left off about what is the vocation wherein you are called. What's that?
Sonship.
There you go. We have that special function that God called for you. Look in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, as we just recap in a little bit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself according to that good pleasure. That's the sonship Julie just mentioned. And the fact that that's what we're adopted into. And it is our special function. And that special thing that God has fixed and marked us out for, that position of that sonship, that. And Paul is saying here in Ephesians 4, as we go there, conduct yourself accordingly to who you are in Christ Jesus. And God has marked us out to be sons, and that means you too, ladies. You know, that's a mankind, that's who we all are in Jesus Christ, the fact that we are sons, and he's given us an adoption by Jesus Christ. And you know what? We're full-grown sons. Many of us has sons that we brought up in our life, and you couldn't look at him as a full-grown son at 4 years old, could you? He's just a little baby and all that stuff. And then he becomes 12 and he starts to identify himself with something. He's still a son, but you couldn't say he was a full-grown son. Then he turns 18. He's like, I'm a man, Dad. I'm like, no, you're not a man until I tell you you're a man. You know, that type of thing. You have to have that Galatians 4 talk where he's, you know, as far as father-son type of thing. So now that you're getting mature in the Word of God, God always looked at you as a full-grown son. But sometimes we don't act like full-grown sons because of the doctrine inside of us. You know, many of us have been tossed to and fro with every winds of doctrines for a long time, haven't we? Now you get in the doctrine of grace and it starts to make a difference in your life. He says, hey, walk like it, act like it, and who you're supposed to be in Christ Jesus. Hold your finger there and go to Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 for a second. It's a verse that is very familiar what Paul was talking about, a walk. And I heard a dear brother bring this out yesterday. And I'm like, huh, this is something really interesting in the fact that some people believe that Thessalonians is the first book Paul wrote. And some people believe that Galatians is the first Paul wrote. You ever notice Thessalonians dealing with the catching away and who you are, and that way Galatians talking about the law, that you're not under law, you're under grace. So the fact is, these things are nailed out. Some of the first things Paul ever dealt with, it's already taken care of, but they're laid out differently in your Bible, aren't they? So look at this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 11 says, as ye know how we exhorted and conformed and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. So here's a father, he's looking at Thessalonians as their children, and he's saying, hey, I'm treating you like a child, but you're also a son. And they knew some doctrine that they took it, and it says, verse 12, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. How are they going to walk worthy? How would you walk worthy of God? Some of us don't feel worthy at all, do we? Sometimes we wake up in the morning and we're like, I'm not even worthy to even, you know, live. But in Christ Jesus, you are worthy, aren't you? But how do you get that walk? How do you know that you are worthy? Through his word. Amen. It's through his word. So look what it says. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which ye have heard of us, ye received it not as word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that what? So hey, they got the word of God. They believed it. It started working in them. And you know what? They started walking differently and talking differently. So go back to Ephesians, and that's similar to what he's talking here, that walk and that talk that we know in. So when we look at a walk worthy of our vocation, it's working and walking in the Word of God. It's allowing the light of the Word to shine in you. You know that passage over there, but if this gospel be hid, it is hid of those that are lost, which Satan, which the God of this world, has blinded the minds of those. So there's people out here blinded, their hearts are dim, but that light of that Word is bright and shining, and they see it, and they believe it, and they get saved. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? But Paul, we know, if you know the book of Ephesians, is not rehashing over the gospel again. He's already assumed that you already know the doctrine in Romans, that you were saved by grace through faith plus nothing else, and you're walking in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is more advanced truths that we're looking at a different, where we're at in eternity. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness. You know, we are to walk as full-grown sons, sonship position, but you not be heady or high-minded, are we? It says walk lowness and meekness. You're not to be puffed up and built up and made out to be like somebody else. And you don't say, well, just because I'm a son, I can do anything I want. Have you ever thought about that? I thought about my son sometimes. I'm dad's son. I can do anything I want. Till his mother hears it. You know, and then she's going to take care of that right away. And sometimes I'm like, no, you can't do whatever you want. You've got to be who you are in Christ Jesus. And that's what go to Galatians chapter 5. It seems like I'm doing about 900 miles an hour. You know, it's just like, I need to slow down a little bit. Galatians chapter 5. Must be those great sweets back there. Galatians chapter 5 says this, verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. You see that? In other words, don't use liberty just the occasion to do what you want to do. And God didn't save us for that, did he? Think about this for a minute. He didn't save you and I that we could do whatever we want to do. He didn't, you know, we was doing a good job before he saved us, didn't we? We was doing whatever we want to do. And I watch a lot of people and they grab a hold of this grace message and they realize they got liberty in Christ Jesus and they just go do whatever they want to do, continue to do whatever they want to do before they even are saved. I'm like, wait a minute, that's not what he called us to do. And sometimes I'm guilty too because I like to do some things, you know, climb the tower, watch TV and all that stuff. It's not talking about that, but yet you can see some things that we do in the flesh that's not pleasing. It's pleasing to the flesh, isn't it? But when you see the contrast between walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh, it should wake us up. And, you know, the things that this position is not given to you and I to make us puffed up. Look at Edward. He thinks he's something because he knows this Bible. You know, couldn't that puff you up? Couldn't that puff you up if you had 200 people in here right now and they're like, I'm just coming to listen to Ed. You know, forget about the Bible. Couldn't that puff you up? That's not what we should be doing, guys and girls. You know, you are to conduct ourselves according to the sonship position. And because the objective of the sonship is to guard the unity of the God and the Holy Spirit made in verse 3. This is why you need to be full-grown sons. This is why you need to be low and meek in a way that you're going to guard something here. And you walk with all lowness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, the only way you're going to guard and to keep and protect the unity of the Spirit is the unity that God has made us in the body of Christ. The only way we see that perfected in us is to walk on the basis of that sonship position. Nothing else will do. Because I don't care what you and I will do up here or try to do. If you're not walking who God made us according to the Word of God, you're not going to work out that unity. In Ephesians chapter 4 through 6 is a description of the unity of the Spirit. But notice that it is the doctrinal unity that makes us different. And it's the spiritual unity of the doctrine that actually exists in us. You know what brings us together here? It's the doctrine. It's the who we are in the Word of God. It's what we believe to be true and how God makes us together. If we didn't have that doctrine, if we didn't have that unity of that doctrine, you wouldn't be here. You know, we wouldn't have nothing in common, but yet we're all different, aren't we? And we all have issues. We all have problems. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Verse 10 says, and this is a verse you may want to remember, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but there be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." That's doctrine unity there, and the spirit unity that we have our basics of, on that reality of the doctrine. Once again, I never heard the word doctrine so much until I started listening to some dispensational preachers. I'm like, what's doctrine? Doctrine, doctrine. What is that doctrine? It's teachings. And every one of us has a teaching. You know, when we looked at in times past, Moses had doctrine. Did he not? Abraham had doctrine. He had teachings that he taught. And God has done this for us, and we can understand and appreciate the basis of doctrine and teaching. There's a spiritual reality that is conveyed to us through the doctrine, and the unity is ours. The doctrine of the unity is one body, you're back in Ephesians, one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and the Father. There is a unity of the Spirit in those seven ones. And we are to maintain that unity in the bond of peace. And the way you maintain it and keep it in the bond of peace is verse 2 of Ephesians, where it says, chapter 4, verse 2, "With all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love." That worthy walk that we talk about sometimes, and the maintenance of the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, requires humility and meekness, and long-suffering, and forbearing, and so forth. You know, that's hard, isn't it? It's hard to think about that, because so many times there's people out there believes the Spirit is different from this. They want to have control over you. You know, they come with harshness and brassness and intolerance and legalistic kinds of thoughts and activities instead of the grace way. If you know people's under law, they look at you different than you under grace. You know, if you're under grace and you know a little bit about long-suffering and meekness, and we're going to look at these things in a few minutes, you know it's different than what people under law says you are. And that's where you really got to watch yourself and protect yourself. I, for one, know that in times past, when I first learned this message, I didn't care who you are. I'm going to back you up against the wall, and I'm going to dump all this appalling truth on you because I may never see you again. You know, and you're like, whoa, you know. And then afterwards, you're like, you walk away and say, yeah, buddy, I just told him everything I know. And, you know, and that did more harm than good. Sometimes they call 2 or 3 years later, said, you know, I've been looking at this, and now, thank God, you know, you look, some people just, you know, he's cuckoo, stay away from him, you know, he don't believe, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's, you know, it's for you and to you, and, you know, and all this stuff. I'm like, whoa, I never said that, but that's the general sense is what people think. Hey, we study the whole Bible. All of it's for you, isn't it? But we know as understanding right division on all of us to us. And that really makes up a lot of people. You know, it really does, and it's sad. You and I has a sonship status that we must walk in it, because you and I understand what's happening, if you think about now. You know, I know some of your testimonies that you went to these other churches and you bought into 100%. But in your heart and in your mind and you're studying the Word of God, it just didn't line up who you was in Christ. And the doctrine that was building up inside of you is like, you know, I love this brother and sister so much, but it's not lining up with what God is saying. And my spirit's saying this is what God is doing. But sometimes we put that dampener on that spirit just for the love of the people and the kindness and friendship and stuff. And, you know, I've lost more friends over this message, but I've gained friends. Amen. You know, and they gain and they understand, hey, the Word of God. What better friendship can you have in somebody if they know who they are in Christ Jesus by rightly dividing the Word of truth? You've got something in common. That excites me. And you walk on a basis of what? Grace. That's what you walk on. As much as I want to put you guys under law, I think you're smart enough now to realize that, you're not going to. I've been tricked once. I've been tricked twice, some of us. But I'm not going to. You know what I'm talking about? You know that, to not be fooled. But sometimes I feel that, wonder what it would be like if I start changing little things and putting people under law and make them feel guilty and all that stuff. And now I'm realize, wait a minute, I'd make my own self feel guilty if I did that. And that's not who I am. And we're supposed to be helpers of each other's joy, aren't we? You know, that's the unity of what we're doing. And corporately, you know, we got some saints here that travels 50 miles one way sometimes. We got other saints that travels just as far. And sometimes we see them, sometimes we don't. Our heart and our mind is thinking about you guys. But at the same time, when we see you, we can rejoice that you're still here and all. But do you become judgmental when you think about someone, when you see someone not walking on a basis of the spiritual unities that are in Christ Jesus? You can become judgmental, can't you? You can start pointing legalistic fingers and demand their performance in order to gain approval or acceptance to you. You know, and you think, why did I do that? Why did I? We don't have to do that, do we? So this is the lowness and meekness of who you are in Christ. You think, you know something? That's where they're at. You're over here. And if you can teach them to come to understanding and they see that, that's a great thing, isn't it? But you know, sometimes people won't see that. They're happy where they're at and all. But he that is weak in the faith, receive ye. You got to remember this. But not just to tear the guy up, but to help him and build him up. Hold him accountable for who he is and lift him up. See, we know some people out there that's caught up in churches, caught up in doctrine. You know, well, I can hold him accountable to that. We had a couple the other night came over and we was talking about some things, and they go to another church and all this stuff. And I'm listening to them, you know, and he's happy and faithful, you know, with what he's doing. But it didn't line up to what we're, you know, doing today. So there's little, not jabs, but I just hold him accountable. Well, what's God doing here? What's God doing here? So that's not trying to tear anybody down. It's making them think about who they are. And Ephesians chapter 4 verse 2 says, with all lowness and meekness. You know what lowlessness is?
Humility.
There you go. It's humility. And it is the lowness of mind. And that's the kind of attitude. You know, I got to be this way. Humble, there you go. Somebody once said, you know, it's better to we understand Bible doctrine and it's easy to obey Bible duties. We understand Bible doctrine. Sometimes the Bible duties is hard to understand. But once you get that inside of you, you can do it. And people, when you have you ever taught this doctrine, and people would just say, you know, I don't want you telling me any more about this doctrine. I had enough about this doctrine. You know, I want you to talk about love and how we love each other. That's a general census on TV preachers today. You know that? Love. Where's the love at, Ed? You're not showing love. I'm like, love? He died for me. He wrote a book for me. And some of it wasn't pretty, was it? You know, I keep saying, thinking about Lord Jesus Christ. When he came to this earth, he said, what does it say about, don't you think I come to bring peace, but rather division? Now, is that love? Not when the whole nation that he come to die for was against him. And all that stuff. So I'm thinking about love here. Yeah, I could come to you a different way in love, my approach. Sometimes my speech is harsh. You can ask my wife. You know, I'll just mention something. She thinks, what do you yell at me for? I'm like, what? It's just the way my tone comes out sometimes. You know, when you're training people, sometimes you just got to show, boom. You got to come out with it and not sugarcoat anything. But then you sit back and say, maybe I need to look at it this way, how I said this. And then they're like, oh, yeah. You know, I told you, I might have told you I'm training a guy from the Dominican Republic. And he speaks, you know, broken English. He understands it very well. And also sometimes when I share things with him, he goes, don't get mad at me. Don't get mad. I'm like, and I told him, I said, I hope you don't think I'm mad at you. It's just the way I teach. Like, why did you run over this, and why did you run over that? You need to do this, you need to do that. Well, naturally, you would think somebody, well, how he's yelling at me. No, that's the way I teach. You know, you're going to tell me you can drive, and we talked about this before, I'm going to hold you to that. Then you realize, he's a little shaky here. He's a little shady. And so the way I encourage him, say, you just need more practice. You just need to get out there and drive more. You know, don't take 12 hours to do a 4-hour run. You know, so he's cautious. And, you know, that's okay. So as it comes, but, you know, it's funny because when we get closer to time, I'm looking like, you know, I bought Bible study on Wednesday night. I got to cancel. You know, I got gym. I'm like, you're on my time now. Arriba, Hyundai, Hyundai. You know, like, is it? You know, but anyway, it's funny because he's a good guy, a believer. You know, so we get to talk about some things. But they were beaten over the head with doctrine, people was. You think about where you was before you come to this truth. You was in a church and you was beaten over and over. And they had people take doctrine and whack them over the head, and they didn't feel any love to appreciate. And that's why they say, where's love at? And they did not value that, or feel value, I should say. And Paul is saying that. He says, that is not the way to do it either. You don't beat people up. We take our sonship position and we exercise it on the basis of grace. That's who we do. And our sonship walk is, this worthy walk, is to be exercised on the basis of lowliness and meekness and long-suffering and forbearance and so forth. I have to practice that every day, guys. Every day. You know, you practice that every day in certain situations. But being an overseer, if you will, as you know, I have to stay on that. And I'm like, sometimes can't I just be like you guys? You know, just kick your shoes off and all. But it's the grace walk that we walk in, but it's the walk that maintains that spiritual unity on the realities that we have in who? Christ, not in us. And it maintains it in a peace based on love and the walk of that love. Now, what kind of love is that, if you think about it? It's not the love that you and I feel physically, is it? It's the agape. It's that grace-motivated love that he came and died. Now, your old man, you know who that is, don't you? Does not want to appear weak, does he? You know, there's not one of us in here right now wants to appear weak beside the people you're with. You want to be who you are, and you're boasting like this in the flesh. And everything in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 has the appearance of weakness, loneliness, a mind brought low. And you don't want to appear low. But go to Acts chapter 20 for a second. Acts chapter 20. And Romans 12. Acts 20, Romans 12. Acts 20, verse 18. And when I went, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came to Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. That humility of mind with which the Apostle Paul served the Lord Jesus Christ at Ephesus is exactly what he's talking about there when he talks about loneliness. Not to be high-minded kind of thing. You with me? He came with humility of the mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of what? Faith. It is that lowness of mind, that humility in your mind. And it's not weakness now. It's not forgetting about who you are in Christ. In fact, it's building you up more. Because didn't the Lord Jesus Christ, when he come with what? Low and meekness, didn't he? Mild. He didn't come down there with a sword. But when he comes back over here, he's not coming back low and meek, guys. Don't you think he is? He's coming back with a sword in his hand. He's coming back to fight. And it's going to be a glorious day for some and a not so glorious day for others, isn't it? But look, you had this wonderful sonship position. We can't forget about that. You had this wonderful status in Christ that you have to live up to, and you are able to be who you are in Christ. Not you and I and each other. I look at athletes all the time, and you and I do too. You know, boy, they can beat themselves up, can't they? Look what I'm doing. But you know when you hear somebody saying, I'm doing it for Jesus Christ, or I'm doing this for the Lord, I'm thinking, don't that make you feel a little better? You know, he's lowering himself above anything else and putting Christ first. And that's a good thing. But if you are not, but you are not to be puffed up about anything. And you are not living it and doing it on the basis of you and I. It's doing on the fact that it's a basis of grace. What does that say? Knowledge puff is what? Can it? You know, many of you got educations that from universities and stuff. Many of us don't. And we all have knowledge. And I guarantee you, if you compare your knowledge against my knowledge, both of us can get puffed up. And I've listened to many of you talk about economies and scientific stuff and, you know, and Bible stuff. And it's like, whoa, man, they got some knowledge. You know, I don't understand it all. But I watch you sometimes and watch other people. You don't get puffed up with it because you're around other people that who you are in a unity. But if you're out there in a world, out there in a world system with other religions, you can get puffed up. And sometimes you need to get puffed up the right way. That's what I'm saying. You need to stand what this is true. Does that make sense? No?
Well, I mean, just being bold.
Well, I guess the difference between being puffed up and bold. You want to be bold. But puffed up is, you know, look at me type of thing. There you go. There you go. But clarify, but charity edifies, don't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you have that, you've got to be careful to operate on the basis of charity because charity produces the lowness of mind. You know, I've known many of you for years and stuff. I watch you and demeanor as far as you want to serve. You know, it doesn't matter what you do, you want to serve. That's putting yourself below others, isn't it? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to serve one another. And it teaches us, it teaches you to not to think of yourself above what which is written. You are to think soberly, accurately, and rightly realizing who you are, who I am. Man, when I realize who I am in Christ, it brings me way down here. But sometimes you remember who I am as a driver, you know, and your company beefing you up. Yeah, you're the guy. And like, no, I'm not. I put the equal responsibilities on that driver because he's equal to me as a driver. But you still got to be a teacher, don't you? And you still got to, he's got to have somebody to bring him up. But I can puff myself up and look at me. Look, hey, if I don't sign this paper, you're not working for us. See what I'm talking about? That's just puffed up arrogance type of thing. But you want everybody to succeed. What is the issue? It is not who I am and me, but it is who I am and who. Christ is the issue. And we got to remember that. When we come together corporately or we come to, if you're out there individually, it's who we are in Christ. Chapter 4, verse 2, Ephesians. Lowness and meekness. Meekness is defined as power under control. Power under control. And that is a good definition for meekness, isn't it? You know, back there in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, you don't have to turn there, but you can be turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3 says, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were on the face of the earth." I want you to think about that for a minute. Moses was very meek above all the men upon the face of the earth. And then in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, Jesus says, "For I am meek and lowly." Now, you wouldn't describe Moses and Lord Jesus Christ as weak men, would you? Mm-hmm. You really wouldn't. Weak men. And Lord Jesus Christ was not weak individually in any way. Amen? Mm-hmm. He was God-man. You know, he was God in the flesh. He was not weak at all. But yet he, what? He made himself lower than who? The Bible says lower than angels. He, all humility, he went to the cross for you and I. That took a lot, didn't it? Would you do it? I'll run to the hills. You know, we was talking about in the mountains earlier. You'd find me down there in a cave. But look, there are powerful men, especially our Lord Jesus Christ and our Savior, but it had to do with being under control. Where did I tell you to go? 1 Corinthians is a good illustration. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 7 and 8. "Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to the law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that of your brethren." The point is here is that they knew everything about meekness. They wouldn't be exalted themselves. Do you see that? You don't take another brother. You know what I mean? Why do you rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? And the thing is, Abraham takes Lot. Here's a good example also. Abraham takes Lot and he says, "Lot, we got to separate." In Genesis 3:13. "You look out there, Lot, and you choose the way you want to go, and I will go the other way. That's meekness illustrated. It's not like, Lot, I'm choosing, I'm going my way, I don't care about you. He's allowing Lot, and we know what Lot did, don't we? To me, I thought about this last night, like, okay, Lot went the way of the flesh. He went to the big city. He was keeper of the gate. He was up in the governments. That's all flesh. You and I are to walk worthy in our sonship's walk and on the basis of grace. I'm getting ready to close here. Lowliness and humility of mind, not exalting ourselves, not think of ourselves above that which is right. And meekness, not just doing things for our gain and have us being having control of grace and the meekness of long suffering. That's a tough one because long suffering means to what?
Suffer long.
You got a long fuse there. It's going to suffer long. You put up with we put up with something, allow it a long time. You know, and each one of us in our spiritual life or our physical life has suffered long things to see you giving it time. You know, and that's tough, isn't it? Because how many want something to happen right now, right then? You know, when I walk out of here, I expect this to happen. And it don't happen, does it? And you're like, whoa, I'm going to have to wait now. Finances changes. Health issues changes. You know, all that stuff, it changes. And now you're going to have to practice long suffering because you had your eyes on this prize over here. And it ain't coming tomorrow. It's not going to. But inside of you, you're working out ways and means like, okay, we can do this, we can still do this. But you got to practice long suffering. It's the ability to endure discomfort when fighting back. That's hard for a man, isn't it? Because if you grow up on some back street somewhere, or you know, sometimes when you had to fight to get what you wanted, and now you're telling me you got to be long suffering, meekness. Well, that's what Christ is telling us.
Ability to endure discomfort while
fighting back. And you walk as a son, and that is an easy thing to do if you ever tried to do. That is why it can't be you. It can't be me. It's the grace walk. And that's what the first three chapters of Ephesians we follow through. The standing, and now you're going into the state. Father, once again, we thank you for the day. We thank you for things you've given us. Freely in your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.